to Cartoon Revolution. I'm Deidre.
And I'm Sonia.
Why Cartoon Revolution?
Because the cartoons we love aren't just for kids anymore.
Cartoons have something to say and change to inspire, and we're here to break it down for you.
Whether it's anime or Pixar, 2D or CG.
Join us as we take cartoons too seriously and discover their hidden meanings and revolutionary ideas.
Hello, welcome back, everyone.
Hi, welcome to a very special episode of
What?
Cartoon Revolution. Just in case you guys thought we were going to talk about some other podcast, I don't know.
Are you lost?
What are you doing here?
So the reason why we're doing a special episode is because in 1 month, we will be celebrating our first year anniversary of Cartoon Revolution. So this is actually our 11th episode, our penultimate episode of our first year's run, which is really exciting. So next episode in October, we'll have a Halloween special with a special guest. And then for this episode, we're actually going to do a fun kind of check-in episode with the community, with the fans, and with each other. Just talk a little bit about what this podcast is, why we're here, what we're doing, and then answer a lot of fun cartoon and animation related questions that we got from you guys.
Of course. And as usual, we want this to be like an interactive piece. If you hear questions that you would like to answer yourself, or you think we should have answered on this episode, we definitely want to hear from you guys. Don't forget to like and share and subscribe and do all the things that will help us or help other people find us.
So maybe just to get us warmed up and into it, I have a first intro question, which is, which character do you relate to the most from what show and why?
For me, I think the first character where I felt like that felt like me on screen would have been Entrapta from She-Ra. And
great character.
Yeah, she's really fun. And just to jog people's memory in case they hadn't watched it yet, this character is just very, very interested in a particular topic, which is machines and inventing and things like that. And she's a princess. I believe the only princess without...
Wait, are you a princess?
I am. That's actually the main topic of our podcast episode today.
Whoa. Interview with a princess, Deidre.
It turns out. Yeah, so Entrapta is just... She's a princess with very specific interests that can sometimes get her into trouble, but can also open her up to relationships with people that others have shunned because she basically just doesn't see a lot of like the same social norms that everyone else does. And at the same time, her heart's always in the right place. And even when maybe she gets a little too distracted by the fun things that excite her so much. And I could really relate to the excitement of a particular topic that other people maybe didn't understand.
Oh, yeah. I would say that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. What about you? Who was it for you?
Yeah, I feel like I relate to a lot of characters in different ways. I think like in cartoons, sometimes by necessity, they're maybe not always fleshed out or a little bit more clear and distinct from each other. So obviously a lot of times cartoon characters may not be as complex as real people are, but I always related to Daria from the show Daria. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have not, but a thread that I follow... a subreddit I'm part of uses Daria's image on there. I've definitely heard of the show.
Yeah, I relate to her, but also Raven from Teen Titans. And I wouldn't say I relate to them as much anymore, but I did more in my youth, especially in high school. But both characters are a little bit more dour and like sarcastic and keep to themselves. And that's definitely how I was in high school. I feel like I've metamorphosed a little bit better since then. I probably have more Starfire tendencies now than I used to.
Would you say broody? Because that's, I don't know Daria, but I think of that with Raven.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I don't associate you with broody.
I know. Because I think I have actually, my character development has been like improving a lot.
Your story arc?
Yeah. Several arcs. But definitely in high school, I was super dour and awkward, extremely sassy and sarcastic. It's a wonder my parents didn't kick me out of the house. That was probably so annoying. And I didn't really like sports or going out and doing things and socializing too much. But I did have really good friends that saw past that front that I was putting up. So yeah, I would say I don't necessarily relate to them as much anymore. But growing up, that's how I typified myself.
Yeah.
It was definitely like a protective barrier because as with most of those types of characters, there's a lot of sensitivity and emotion deep past those walls. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Nice heart-to-heart getting to know each other through a 2D mostly animation.
We were strangers before this. We knew nothing of each other.
Yeah, we've just never spoken ever.
Okay, what about a favorite song from cartoon, animated, movie, series, anything?
This is one of my favorite things about the animation medium and cartoons in general is that there's such a good, strong association with music and like musicals, which is more so than live action and most other mediums, in my opinion. But definitely like Steven Universe and Adventure Time have really good songs. I think it's Here Comes the Thought from Steven Universe. That's the song that Garnet
That doesn't surprise
sings.
Me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I maybe talked about it in our Steven Universe episode, but I love that song so much. It's beautiful and it talks about healthy relationships and it teaches you things, but I just love the melody as well.
For me, the song that I guess there's a lot, and I even have a playlist that when I'm not feeling at my best and
I have the same playlist. It's called Musical Days. Yeah.
Is it? Mine's called Cartoonified. And yeah, so on that list, what I've been vibing with most recently is Adventure Time song called Everything Stays, I think.
Oh, I love that song. It's so
good. Let me just double check that I'm not just misquoting.
I also love Oh Fiona from Adventure Time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think Rebecca Sugar, I think, wrote some of the songs, not all of them. Like she wrote Time Adventure. Maybe
she was one of the first people to bring music to Adventure Time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Everyone thank
service.
Her. Oh, yeah. I will say, okay, Everything Stays. Yes, Olivia Olson. I will also say that I really love the soundtrack from the first season of Centaur World.
Oh, I've never
because
seen
that one. Yeah, that one is actually structured to be a musical cartoon series. They even had Megan Hilty on there.
Okay,
and
nice.
The incomparable Megan Hilty, who I don't know really from any Broadway stuff because I'm not a Broadway person, but I think she was on Wicked. I think she was Glenda.
Yeah, actually, I just opened up my playlist with all of my songs and I have to name a few honorable mentions, which is definitely Where Fire. You Are from Moana.
Oh, yes. I like to sing that one. That
Me
one's
too.
A fun
so
belter.
Singable. Yeah. What else? Oh, Do It While We Can from Central Park. Have you seen Central Park?
No.
Okay, that's a good one. I actually Central haven't finished Park. It, but it is good.
That one is animated like Bob's Burgers?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll instantly recognize the style.
Okay.
And then lastly, System Boot, Pearl Final 3 Info.
That is a fun
Steven
one.
Years movie. Yeah, I love that one.
See, I've listened to it enough to recognize the title.
Yeah. Oh, I'll finally. Sorry. Last thing, the entire soundtrack to The Lion King. And Mulan.
Yeah. Mulan is a great one. They both are.
Iconic. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'll just add really quickly here. Just fine. It's a whole, if anyone's interested, I think it's almost 2 hours of a video essay by the account called Modern Girls on YouTube, Girls with a Z. And they did an entire episode on the girl bossification of Disney princesses, which
I love that.
Yeah. And that's why just when you mentioned Mulan, I like remembered thinking
classic,
about that. So in case anyone's interested, it's all the way from the OG Disney princess Snow White all the way to
Moana and Frozen, I'm sure.
Yeah, they covered those as well. I think Raya, it's one of their newest episodes, so Raya was mentioned, which whole can of worms for me with that, with Raya
we'll
the Last Dragon,
to
be honest.
Sometime.
Yeah, we should start doing shows that we don't love on the agenda.
I think I'm too easily impressed. Maybe that might be my problem. I just love everything. I'm like,
me, I don't know, who knows. I think we're just amiable people.
That's true.
Tune in fans to a very special episode where Cartoon Revolution joins the rest of the hating internet.
Yeah, true. It'll happen.
Someday. Give us time to mature as a platform.
Nice.
Okay. Let's do speaking about the podcast stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Let's ask a few questions about the podcast itself. So Sonia, who are we?
We are two women of color who happened to meet in Hong Kong through, should I reveal how we met?
Yeah, whatever. I don't really give a shit.
Oh my God. Okay, so I moved to Hong Kong in 2018 after I graduated from college to take a teaching fellowship, 2-year teaching English fellowship in Hong Kong. And I was lonely. I didn't have that many friends. I had a few through work, but all we would talk about was work friend, work things and work stuff. I was like, I need someone so I can talk to about anything else. And so I downloaded Bumble BFF, first mm-hmm. and only experience using a dating app. And Deidre was the first and only person I talked to and met up with in person. And then we just hit it off really well. I don't even know if we got to talking about shows, but eventually that became obvious that mm-hmm. we both enjoyed similar types of fiction yeah. and art and stuff and had similar interests. And yeah, after that, I never opened the app again because I was like, I got yeah. yeah. And it turned into a flourishing, what are we, 4 years, three years in? I don't even know.
Is it many years? No, wait, 2018.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's been 4 years.
Wait, it has
years.
Been about 4 years. Yeah. Fuck. Wow. I mean, many of us have been remote. Much has happened in between then yeah. and now.
Yeah. And I guess on my side of that story, it's just funny because we connected and I had downloaded the app for dating as most people would have downloaded it. But I just got honestly bored and annoyed by the swaths of
yes.
of singles out there on the dating app side that it just didn't interest me. And so I looked at the BFF side, found Sonia. We connected. We were going to meet. And then I just like, as I was mulling it over between the time where I accepted and then I was waiting for you to like come from to meet at the MTR, I was scrolling through your photos and then I was just like, why is one of these photos a stock photo?
So
like,
dumb.
Who's this person that I'm meeting? Oh no, like good thing I'm in public, but just I'm a very anxious person anyway. So of course, my stomach just dropped to the floor and then I was just kind of waiting there. It's like, oh fuck, and she's late. I don't even know if she's a she, which whatever, but like it could go to her deception or their deception, let's say. But it worked out fine. Sonia was just as advertised except for that last photo.
Oh my god, which... let me explain myself poorly. I was trying to, okay, I had scrolled through and seen other people's profiles and I was like, why do all these people look like perfect models? Are we just trying to find friends? We're not trying to sell our whole person so easily. And I was like, I need to put in some like personality here, like I don't know, try to show my silly humor. And it is a stock photo, but it's also a meme. And it's, I don't know if people have seen it, but it's like this gross person with like hands over their computer and they like have a piece of pizza in their mouth. And I was like, this represents me. I was like, I love being online and I also love junk food and I love doing both things at the same time. And I was like, so I just put that as my last photo. Mind you, the rest were very real. And I just did not think twice about it. Until you told me that and I was like, wait, actually that kind of is sort of scary.
It's also because I was telling one of my sisters about it, and then she's oh, I'm excited for you, and then sent me the profile, and then we look and she's like, why is this a stock image? I hadn't even noticed. Oh, because of course I didn't notice. It's fine. It's literally my brain will do that. It blindsides me so often. It's quite inconvenient.
You know, your sister almost stopped us from being friends and then this podcast wouldn't have happened. So
she just thought I was too relaxed. No, she thought I was too relaxed, and so she had to sprinkle some anxiety in there. Wow. She says, this looks more normal.
Classic sister moves.
Okay, what about, and let's see, the decision to come up with a podcast, that was, when did we started this? This is
October 2020.
We started 2021. October is, no.
We started talking about doing this in 2020, I think.
Yes. Yes, yeah. You're right. Because we did it a year before we launched.
Yeah, and we spent a whole year just talking about doing this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This podcast has been a big chunk of our relationship.
Yes, please appreciate it. The hard work, the labor.
Yeah. And I guess maybe I'll mention, because I think I brought the possibility up to
she
you, Sonia.
She proposed it to me.
Yeah, it's just we had talked so much about cartoons and it was obvious that was a topic that was very easy for us to go through. And I was in a part of my life where I just needed to do something. And I have a tendency to put pressure on everything that I do so quickly, and that makes me not able to do it. And so this was a way to do something fun for myself.
Yeah.
And then to also like already know that I had someone who was interested in doing that with me.
Yeah, I was really happy when you came to me with the idea, because I felt like I was also looking for something, some creative outlet. I felt like I had a lot of thoughts and opinions about mediums in general, and I just didn't have much of an outlet beyond just talking about it with friends. And I'd always wanted to do something, whether it was a YouTube show or just like something fun and creative, but it's so hard to do alone. And it was just really nice to have a partner who is as excited about it as me. And it was also peak pandemic time. It was just a rough time for everyone. So this was a good thing to keep you busy and distracted from the troubles of the world and do something fun and creative.
We had a lot happen in Hong Kong that year prior.
Yeah.
So this made sense.
It really made sense.
It's like cartoons, safe space. Safe space.
Yeah, so maybe we can explain, like, why are we doing this podcast? Not just, like, why did we start it, but, like, why are we doing this and who are we doing this for?
I mean, other than the fact that it's fun for us.
Yeah. Which
everyone needs to have that project in their lives. Go for it. Even if, like, you don't, okay, fuck this capitalist idea that you need to monetize everything that makes you happy.
Yeah.
Just do it for yourself. Are we making money off of this? No.
And we put in a lot of work, unpaid labor.
But as long as it's fun, I feel like we're learning a lot. I'm learning a lot.
Yeah, totally.
From every episode we put out. Oh, and then also we touched upon this is just because of the shit that was going on in both of our lives and also just on a national citywide scale going on in Hong Kong and in the region, or I guess globally as well with the pandemic, is there's a lot of real world stuff that we just needed an escape from. And we're just hoping to create a space that is, while giving people a break from the heaviness of the real world, it's still filtering it through the cartoon lens, so we're not completely disjointed from reality either, which for me personally, I feel like is a more manageable way of looking at the world every now and again.
Yeah, I really like how you said it's like a distraction, but at the same time, it's also something we're using to dive into a lot of those same issues we've been talking about. It's a good way of kind of processing those things as they're happening around us, but through a different medium that is maybe more simple, but also more complex than people often give it credit for. And yeah, I'll just say from my perspective, like people just think cartoons are for kids. And that's certainly what I thought when I was younger, but I never ever really stopped watching them. And maybe there were periods where I watched them less, but when I was growing up, I got more into anime, for example, and then there were all these great, really high quality cartoons that were also coming out, like Steven Universe. And Avatar was also so inspirational to me when I was young. So when Korra started coming out, of course, I picked that up, and that led me down to other paths. So I think it's just so crucial that people realize how integral cartoons and animation still are to adults. It's a really nice way to process the world, to understand issues, just to take a break and have some self-care as well, and just to have a good time with friends. And I definitely, it just has such a strong presence in my life within my friendships too, not just with you, but family members as well. And I think it's a medium that's overlooked, and something that I hope that we can elevate a little bit more through this podcast, because it just doesn't get the credit or the money that it deserves. So hopefully that can change in some small part due to the actions of people our age who are really excited about this stuff and want to talk about it and analyze it with the depth it deserves.
Yeah, I think that sums it up. Mm-hmm. It's basically something the two of us have thought about for a long time. And so we could go on, but let's get to some like not necessarily podcast related questions. Let's move.
Yeah, fun questions from you guys.
Yeah, from you guys. Okay, Sonia, what got you into, let's say, anime? Because that isn't something we've talked a whole big amount about on this show.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. And we've done some movies, of course. I don't know if we've done too many anime shows, but for me, I would say there's two shows that really got me in. Obviously, as a kid, like I watched Pokemon, I watched Yu-Gi-Oh, a little bit of Dragon Ball, things like that. But for me, I didn't really associate that with anime because it was just children's TV and most of it was English dub. So for me, I didn't even realize it was like qualified as anime. So I guess I would say when I really fell into what I knew and thought of as anime was in high school. My friends got me into Attack on Titan and then One Piece. And those two just changed my life. I loved Attack on Titan. I was like, I've never seen animation of this quality before. I've never seen animation that is this dark and adult before. And just the concept of a cartoon or an animated product being super dark and gritty and about such serious concepts was entirely new to me. And I just loved it. And then One Piece, of course, is just the most expansive world with just the most beautiful storytelling and characters, which I'm still very much a part of today because it's still ongoing. But that also just changed my life because it got me into shonen as a genre and just other popular stuff. And from there, it was a deep spiral into every other popular anime ever. But yeah, definitely credit to really good friends for getting me into that, and my brother too, who was always trying to push me into it.
Yeah, that's, I didn't realize Attack on Titan was pivotal for you.
Oh gosh,
I guessed One Piece. I didn't realize Attack on Titan. And One Piece is a show that I only just got into this year.
Oh, and I love it. Wait, where are you?
Yeah,
which arc are you in?
Oh, I fell off it when I realized that they didn't have it passed on Netflix.
Oh, is okay. You gotta watch it elsewhere. Wait, they just added new ones. I don't know if it's where you are, but in the US, they added a few new arcs. So maybe check it out.
I was very impressed having never watched it before. I was like, okay, cool.
It's so good. And you haven't seen anything.
Yeah. Really? Okay, great. And just because you mentioned the term, can you explain what shonen is?
Yes.
As a genre?
So there's two genres. And yeah, you already know, even if you don't know the term, but shonen usually means like for boys and shoujo means for girls. So popular shoujos are Sailor Moon. That's like the most iconic one I can think of. But other ones that I like are Yona of the Dawn, Chihaya Furu. That's a really good one. It's usually like female centric or has a woman lead. And then shonen is like Naruto, One Piece, Bleach, Death Note, all of those that are trend masculine. But of course, I think the genres are starting to converge a little bit. At least I would hope so, because obviously the whole concept is completely regressive. And the type of content can be enjoyed by either gender.
Great. Okay, let's see. What got me into anime? Okay, because the reason why I wanted to answer to counteract this is because you were growing up in California, I'm assuming.
Yes.
I was growing up, at least at the time of all of this, would have been Indonesia and Bangkok, Indonesia and Thailand. And so that's Asia. And some of my earliest memories are of anime. Although there were some, like, obviously some big Disney Western movies, but my sister, I have two sisters, the one who's only 1 year younger than me, we would pretend to be Sailor Moon and Chibi Moon all the time. I would be Sailor Moon, of course. And then I also really got into, we had Pokemon, but my favorite is Digimon, specifically seasons 1 and 2.
Yeah, those are classics.
The reason why I like Digimon over Pokemon, it's these trainers, they go out into the world, they capture Pokemon, train them, become the greatest Pokemon masters. In Digimon, at least the first two series, it's like at the discovery of, this is early 2000s, so it's like the discovery of the internet and how that there's a whole digital world and everyone's paired up with some kind of digital monster, and the lines between the real world and the digital world sometimes blend together, and then chaos ensues, and these kids are only paired with one Digimon for their entire lives. And it's just a very different dynamic, and the way that the story is told that I related to more.
Yeah, I never watched Digimon. Maybe I'll give it a chance.
I really liked it. That's one of the few shows that I actually consumed in three different languages.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, I relied heavily on English subtitles, but I heard the different languages. I, to this day, remember, because I listened to the Bahasa Indonesia version of it, and I just remember learning the word benci for the first time, which meant hate, because I didn't know that word.
And there's just learned hate from Digimon.
I learned the word hate because one character's just, she's just yelling at another character. She's like, I hate you, or something like that. And for some reason, I just remember, aku benci kamu. Wow. It's just, yeah. I was like, oh, that's a new word.
Nice. So this is a great question. Shows you just could not get into despite everyone telling you you would love it.
Oh no, I'm going to out myself. For me, I would say Amazing World of Gumball.
Oh, intriguing. I haven't actually seen, I saw one or two episodes.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I mean. It's not that I have any strong dislike for it. And if anything, the animation is awesome. But it's that one of those things where I just have watched something here or there and it just hasn't interested me enough to actually follow through. But I've been given that recommendation by multiple people, and I think I'm just the kind of person that does I does more or those like longer arcs through a story. Although I don't know, I haven't, again, maybe I'm misunderstanding what this show is about, but I have a feeling it's more like the SpongeBob type.
Yeah, I'd only seen the one. There was some that was like an anime parody that I'd watched and I found it very entertaining, but I watched that one too. Didn't get the sense though of any longer story arc, but I also haven't seen enough. But mine, and this will also probably attract hate, but Rick and Morty.
Oh, I have an embarrassing story.
Go for it.
No, please. You say first. What about Rick and Morty?
It's just, I'm sure it's probably pretty good if I gave it more of a chance, but I did watch the first few and I just couldn't get into it. I think mostly because there was just a lot of guy humor, fart and poop jokes and just dumb sounds. And I was like, why does this feel so coarse and just, I don't know, unfriendly and gross humor? It just wasn't super appealing to me. And I don't know, I missed some of the suave and grace and artfulness maybe that is present in a lot of other animated genres, but I also recognize that it's extremely popular, and maybe if I gave it more of a shot, I would like it more, but that's me.
I think it just isn't the show for everyone. I mean, even now, like, it doesn't excite me the way that it used to. I don't think they were going for suave either, so it's just not that kind of show. I'll decide whether or not I want to cut this out, but the embarrassing thing why this show has a special place in my heart is because I may or may not have lost my virginity after watching the first episode.
Oh my god, that will forever associate the two.
I know! So I can't hate it, at least not like the first season.
Amazing. Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
You're welcome, Sonia. Bet you never expected to learn that from a Bumblebee.
Oh my gosh. That would be a great icebreaker or like factoid or something. But yeah.
I'm going on a date tonight. I don't think the guy wants to hear that. Luck.
Yeah, probably not. I probably wouldn't leave with that, but
yeah. Or maybe I should. Maybe I'll just weed out the uninteresting people.
Yeah, ask about him or her. Their thoughts about cartoons.
About cartoons, or this one in particular. Okay, let's talk about, pull it back to the podcast a little bit. What was your favorite episode that we did?
Ooh, for me, it was Coraline, just because I felt like we got into some really good analysis. Like we hit a really good stride, and I loved our talk on like the motherhood aspects and mother-child relationships and child scary cartoons. It was just a great episode. And I love that movie. I think it has so much to offer and discuss. And I had a lot of fun. Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
It was fun. And there were insects. So no complaints. Mine was the very first episode we did, the Avatar, The Last Airbender's The Painted Lady episode.
Oh, our first.
Because it had one of the main shows that bonded us. ATLA. Yes. It had environmental issues. It had strong female protagonist discussions. It had the two of us talking for the first time on a podcast. It had all the things except insects, but you covered that with Coraline. So.
Yeah, true. Yeah, can't argue with that. Also one of my favorites. Okay, this is a question about our podcast. So what is our podcast production process? That's a good question. Maybe, yeah, I can, I guess, talk about. So we switch off each month. Each month, one of us picks the show, whatever content we're talking about. And then that person usually brainstorms the main focus, but sometimes we talk about it together. Or sometimes it's a few different focuses, but we talk through some central concepts and ideas and then slowly transitions to an outline. And then we record usually about halfway through the month, the previous month before it releases. And then we switch off editing. So one person will edit first, the other takes the second cut. And then from there, it's usually about final. Yeah. Did I miss anything?
Not in terms of the podcasting itself. It's just the two of us. And
we do everything. Yep.
We do everything.
Yeah.
Which it limits the amount that we can do, but it also just means that we're learning.
Yeah.
Having to learn everything. And that's the fun part of all of this.
Yeah. And I'll also say, I didn't mention marketing, but that's a whole nother thing too, is like advertising, uploading, making sure it gets some listens, things like that.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Whole other can of worms.
Yeah, but I'd say we do our best to pick content that's interesting and think about topics that are more unique that maybe you wouldn't have thought about as much, but it's fun.
Yeah. I guess there's a lot of big, there's always a lot of big animation news coming up. Netflix is really investing in their.
Yeah. They're also taking on a cartoons. One Piece live action, I believe.
Yeah, we'll see. Talk about cartoon trends. How do you feel about live action versions of?
I know usually answer, not but... that good. I don't know. I'm trying to think of one that actually blew my mind. Not really many come to mind. And I just don't see why they keep trying. It seems like every year there's a new thing that they're trying to do and it just bombs and yet they keep trying. But it's just part of the wave of trying to capitalize on franchises, milk them out, keep fans loyal and addicted. Generate more money, but I just right. I don't really see the appeal.
Well, it's,
I have
it's
hope,
funny.
But not very high hopes.
I think it's funny because comic characters have been an important part, like live action comic characters have been an important part of
Marvel
of media, DC. Not just Western media. I believe one of the highest Bollywood movies ever was a superhero movie that came out a few years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
There's a few. I don't know which one you're referring to, but
having some kind of hero and fantastical element in live action, a superhero, sorry, has been a big part of cinema throughout different cultures, I guess was my point, not just Western culture.
Yeah.
Or, but for some reason, there's like specifically cartoon, like animated properties that go from an animated medium to live action.
Yeah, that are not like basically Marvel, DC, or some superhero.
Yeah, because even the DC properties and the Marvel properties, those are based on comics.
Yeah, they had animated stuff too. And then anime is usually based on manga. But yeah.
Right, right. So we can, I guess my point is a lot of times it feels like the more unsuccessful ones are the ones that go straight from like the animated to the live action as opposed to the comic to the live action. But that's just off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just a difference of budget. Like, I think there's a lot
of think that's the difference?
Greater budget and respect given to the superhero franchises because they've been around for so long. They've been tested. They have an audience already. And maybe One Piece and Avatar will turn out to be better because I think they have been given really good budgets. But I don't think has there ever been a successful live action based off of an anime in at least the West. I don't think I've heard of any, but yeah, I think it's just different genres and target audiences.
Yeah.
I hope it's okay, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And even with the Avatar, we'll stop talking about it in a bit, but the Netflix show is the original two creators are not part of it anymore. And the cast seems really promising. I don't know that much else about the creative team that has me that interested. And for the reason that we just stated, I'm excited to see what comes out, but I'm also not. If it flunks as like a property, which is the most expensive Netflix show on the docket, by the way, it's not going to really feel like it would affect me too much. Like, I'm not going to hang all my hopes on it.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've all learned from the last Airbender movie.
It's definitely going to be better. I bet it's going to be like the series of unfortunate events where it was the series was much better. I think like a movie for an entire series is always going to be difficult, especially a Hollywood movie.
Of course. Yeah, I think a series is easier for sure. Yeah. More space. Yeah.
Okay, what about in terms of like up and coming movies? Anything you're looking into or shows?
Yeah, so I think two that are coming out, actually three things that are coming out either end of this year or next year, all of them are anime. But Attack on Titan finale is coming finally. The third part of the final season is coming out, I think, early next year. Very excited about that because that was like the start of my anime journey and it's finally closing after over 10 years at this point, which is nuts. So that's coming. I'm also really excited about Spy Family, which I just watched the first half of the first season of. That's a newish show. And I think the second half of the first season comes out later this year. That's a really fun show. I highly recommend.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was suspicious at first because I saw a lot of marketing around it. And I was like, is this actually good? Or is it just like a fad or something that Crunchyroll and whatever, whoever made it just has a lot of money to throw at. But it's actually really good. Do recommend.
Okay, because I don't know anything about it, but I have been seeing, every now and again, I'll see people in Hong Kong walking around as one of the characters.
Yeah, it's extremely popular, and I think justifiably. But yeah, the last piece I'll say is Haikyuu, I think, is finally wrapping up with two movies, I think, just saw announced. But yeah, super excited about that. It's something I refused to watch for the longest time because I thought sports anime were dumb. And I was like, I don't like sports. And then my friend forced me to because he said he would watch One Piece if I watched it. And then he never fulfilled his promise, by the way. So I'm adding him publicly.
Oh my goodness. But anyways, even I've done it. Come on. Yeah.
So rude. I'm so upset. But anyways, I did really like it. And I'm very excited. What about you?
There's a few things I'll mention really briefly. So Into the Spider-Verse 2, I think because I love this, the first one so much. It's also, it's at the time, it was so revolutionary in its style. And now, a few years later, it's not going to, they'll have to do something different for it to still be novel. But I'm actually a fan of sequels, at least when it comes to animated movies, because I think a lot of times they're able to shed some of the more stereotypical aspects of the first movie, as fun as it was, once they have a bigger budget. Like, for example, Kung Fu Panda. Like, I just rewatched the Kung Fu Panda 2, and oh my goodness, the second movie. Like, the first movie was fun, of course, but the second movie was cinematic. There's also the Velma TV show.
Very excited.
On HBO Max. Yeah, I loved Scooby-Doo growing up. I think the thing that got me interested is that Mindy Kaling is behind this, and Velma is going to be brown, and amazing. I just like the idea of bringing a new aspect to this character, that, and it's going to be an adult show. I know it got, there was all this hubbub about changing her ethnicity or whatever, and I'm like, whatever, this property is so old.
Yeah.
If it bothers you so much, just watch an older one. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Like, there are literally hundreds of episodes with white Velma.
Yeah. Like, you guys aren't losing anything. It's one time. We don't even know how long this show is going to last, right? And then finally, I'm looking forward to the new Hell of a Boss lineup. This is an independent one. That's why I wanted to put it in. By Z-Pop, I think. If you look on YouTube, they have all the episodes out. Viv Z-Pop. Sorry. They've been an independent animating group for a while. I don't know so much about the production, but I do like to find more independent cartoons to watch as well. Just this one is one of those shows where, like, because they're not affiliated with a Netflix or a Disney, like, they can be as raunchy as they want. They can make all these references to debauchery and everything. It's because it takes place in there's two main properties. Has-Been Hotel takes place in the underworld. Hell of a Boss kind of goes between the human world and the underworld. Just follows these imps and demons across their, what is that called when you, like, a murderer for hire?
Assassin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that. Oh my goodness. Obviously, I'm really great at this lingo. I'm looking forward to the show because I haven't watched it.
Amazing.
There are new episodes. I think just YouTube it. The episodes aren't very long. If you like it, if you don't, whatever. Cool.
Thanks for sharing. Shall we get into some rapid fire questions?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Cartoon crush, Deidre, go.
Zuko. Duh. You?
Mine's the same. Okay. I'm also going to add two characters, though, that are very similar. I feel we should. Robin from Teen Titans and Levi from Attack on Titan.
Levi. Okay, interesting. Yeah. Sorry, wait. It's rapid fire. Let's circle back later. Okay. Favorite cartoon ship.
Okay, Hack and Yona from Yona of the Dawn. What about you?
Oh, I never shipped any characters because
what? You can't really just say that.
I'm just telling you, when I was younger, no, I like ever? Didn't see any of that shit. No. Oh, I didn't. Even everyone's like, oh, is it Zuko and Katara or Katara and Aang? And I was like, I don't give a shit. Like, this is not the interesting part of the of the plot to me.
Astonishing. But you could be interested in more than one part.
I just wasn't. I'm just okay. Strongest team in a cartoon.
So we're talking like Powerpuff Girls, Totally Spies, Sailor Moon.
Yeah, I guess like a unit of
Team Avatar. Okay.
Of people.
Okay, strongest. I'm trying to think which one would beat the others. Okay, I feel like Sailor Moon powers are broken because it's like each season or arc, she develops like some new stronger version of a previous power based off of love and friendship. And that's pretty broken. Like, you can just develop stronger feelings of friendship and love each season and then just defeat everyone. And also your powers are like aligned with planets. planets, which is pretty strong in my opinion. So I guess I would say Sailor Moon maybe would be most, I don't know. What do you think?
Okay. One would be the Digimon crew.
Digimon,
because they're not just working with their single Digimon, but also as a unit, and they're actually like,
okay, but wouldn't Pokemon technically be better because they have multiple as opposed to one?
No, because the power of friendship and also also just with all the shit going on within the digital world sphere now, we need to have a healthier relationship with the internet and to imbue fun and adventure and also kick some powerful people in the ass right now who are
fun and adventure. Fine. I'm sus.
I think if we lived not purely on Earth, then okay. Fine. Fine. Sailor Moon may win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Also, you can also digivolve your Digimon, by the way.
Digivolve?
So, yeah. Oh, did Pokemon I not explain this evolve? Concept? No, but Pokemon can't go back. Digimon can.
Oh.
Digimon can evolve.
But why would you want to go back?
Evolve. Because they're more transportable. That's not the reason. That's. I'm just giving you the easy answer.
Oh my gosh. I need to watch this show.
It's amazing, Sonia. A second season for the win. And then, okay, what about your self-care watch? What's that?
Definitely One Piece or Bob's Burgers. Yeah.
For me, My Little Pony, Friendship's Magic, Centaur World.
Okay, lots of equine.
First season of Centaur World. Second season, sorry.
Lots of equine not about it. Interest here.
Yeah. If you want to get into that show, I would say only watch the first season. I hold no responsibility for the second season.
Noted. Okay, and last question. Best Barbie movie, which is a franchise we have not talked about, but I really want to.
And say Barbie Nutcracker.
Nutcracker? Okay, yeah. Interesting.
You?
Swan Lake. I just thought it was so pretty. I loved the aesthetic, like very mystical lake core.
A lot of animals.
A lot of animals. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I had a fight with a friend because she was like, Rapunzel is better. And yeah, it was very intense. But honestly, I would say Rapunzel is really good. But Swan Lake, I think, was like my first love in the franchise. So unbeatable.
Yeah,
there's a lot of the newer ones I haven't seen. Like, I don't think I ever saw the Three Musketeers one or the Princess and the Pauper one. And I think isn't there a
mermaid
one?
You didn't watch Princess and the Pauper?
No, I never watched that one.
That's their first musical one.
Oh,
Sonia.
Okay. Maybe I'm
just like, you're just like, it's quite
Wait, isn't there one
the
where there
are
butterflies too? I don't know.
There's a Mariposa one. I've watched
one. Yeah, that's it.
I guess like the Barbie Nutcracker was the easiest answer considering I just couldn't think of one. And that's like OG.
Yeah.
But I guess I did like the Mariposa one. Okay. Although Mariposa technically is not Barbie.
Oh. Okay.
Which is confusing. They're both blonde.
I think it's
not Kelly
Barbie.
Sheridan.
If they're all blonde and skinny and white, they're all Barbie.
Fair. Are there any of the rapid fires you want
to
like?
Okay, let's talk about Zuko, because this is not something unique to us. This is like everyone from Tumblr era internet who watched Avatar loved Zuko. And I think it's worth discussing, what is it about Zuko that makes us love him and like characters like him? Because I think I said Zuko, Robin, and Levi. Robin's maybe a little bit different, but definitely Levi and Zuko, there's some alignment there. Like they're a bit like darker and more serious, cool boy aesthetic, although Zuko's a little bit more dramatic. But
their
anyways,
arcs are so different, I feel. No,
well, or maybe. I think they both have the aloof energy, I think, like the cool aloof energy. But I think Levi is more cool, whereas Zuko's more like brittle and sensitive inside.
My honor.
But anyway, so what is it about Zuko that drew you in, and why do you think so many people, especially women our age, were so into it?
Yeah, I think it's that brooding energy,
bad boy energy.
Yeah, like when we were teenagers when it came out. So
yeah.
So that's
our most rebellious phase.
I wasn't though. I was maybe like, yeah, I was very not rebellious.
True. Honestly, I wasn't either, but like as rebellious as I could be, it was maybe a cartoon crush preference.
Yeah, it's not romantic. I was not a romantic person, but this was like one of the times where it's like feelings were stirring up in me, turns out called hormones. And then my ex also had long sweeping hair like that, and he was pale, and he did not have a scar, and he wasn't as broody, but he was, I mean, also everyone at that time who was part of that alternative, that was a whole aesthetic, let's say. So was it that unique of an aesthetic? No, it was not. And also, let's say Zuko season 3 or 2, but just not. Did you like Zuko season 1?
No, of course not. The ponytail was awful.
I think it's a great character design choice.
Yeah.
In terms of like the arc and everything, but as a teenage heartthrob, no. Bald with a ponytail, no.
Yeah. I think he
at
also,
least not our context. Yeah.
Like he has that dark bad boy energy, but also you can see like how like sensitive he is inside, and he has that some cute vibes too. Like I always remember like when he was like, "Hello, Zuko here."
Oh, that's like on season 3
moments. So that added like a good shade of reality to his character.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, that show is just great at balancing those things.
Yeah,
but even
totally.
Now reading like the comics, his Zuko's mm-hmm. arc is still the most interesting to me. I think there's something about a taking childhood feelings out of it. There's something very interesting about the redemption story arc, especially in a character that you do see like for a really long part of it is the antagonist and also really struggles with the decision.
Yes, absolutely.
About intergenerational violence and whether or not to continue it.
Yeah, totally. And I think maybe a lot of people are attracted to that because maybe we can relate to going through some of that change, or we aspire to the same growth that he had, or maybe he's just a nice challenge, because sometimes like the right choice or the obvious choice, like Aang, who's like pretty great and perfect, though he goes through a lot of growth, obviously, he was always like a good choice from the beginning. Maybe that's not as interesting or full of depth as Zuko's growth was.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it says something about people's interest in redemption arcs.
But we could go deeper into it if we thought more about it. But that's
yeah, maybe a therapy episode.
Maybe therapy.
In future.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Podcast Therapy.
DJ and Sonia have been driven to such confusion.
Podcast. I have one last question for you.
Uh-huh.
There's a movie means a lot to you from your childhood. Oh. Maybe people haven't really heard of it as much anymore, but what is that movie to you that you would just love our listeners to
I don't have a sense on how popular this actually is, but Fantasia was something that I loved watching as a kid. Did you ever watch it?
Fantasia 2000? The
it's
orchestra
super old.
One? Yes, I did watch that.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like it's something, I think people did grow up watching it and enjoy it, but because it's not necessarily a normal narrative story or plot and doesn't have any like voice to it, as far as I remember, I don't hear people talk about it, but I loved that as a kid. I think it really opened up my imagination to world building a lot more, because there's so many different unique stories in there, and they're all paired with classical music, and I love soundtrack music and just music in general when it's paired with a story. And so for me to have to learn that you can pair a story and visuals with classical music or with sounds was pretty mind-blowing and helped me listen and pay attention more to music in shows that I was watching, which I do a lot of now, I think, and that can be accredited to that show, I think. But yeah, I just loved like how expansive it was, all the different creatures, like there's Pegasi, there's goldfish, there's the dancing mushrooms. And I always remember that anytime I hear any of those songs. I think most of them are like Tchaikovsky or other famous composers, but I always imagine it just had such a strong association between those images and certain songs. So when I hear those songs, I always remember the animation. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should talk about it. Mm-hmm. So what about you?
So the movie that I wanted to highlight is called The Secret of Nim. Did you ever watch that one?
I don't think so.
It is a Don Bluth movie. And you've probably heard of Don Bluth, maybe not the name, but if you've ever watched An American Tale with Fievel the Mouse moving to America with his family, you ever watch that one? Or The Land Before Time?
Oh, of course. Land Before Time, yeah.
Land Before Time.
That.
Okay, great. All Don Bluth movies all have a sense, usually around animals. I'm trying to think. I actually loved all their movies. They did All Dogs Go to Heaven, which is also a great movie. But in terms of Secret of Nim, that was maybe one of the first like really dark children's movies, quote unquote, that is just, I think, one of the most gorgeous animation pieces that I've ever seen and I still think about. And it's one of those like whole huge fantastical worlds that are technically supposed to just be about a field mouse with these creatures that are technically all like real animals, but it just brings a sense of whimsy. And this movie also brings in the dark element. And it's about a young mouse, a mother, who is going on this whole adventure just to bring medication home for her sick son. And she's she's a lone mother of, I think, 3 kids or something like that. So 3 or 4 kids. And I don't even like rodents that much. But but this movie is just very... The fact that there was a whole movie around a character like that so long ago. It's an older movie, too.
I'd never heard of it, I don't think. Maybe I've seen it.
1982.
Oh, okay. So it's an oldie.
Yeah. And it's a really great movie. All of the Don Bluth lineups are stellar. And you should definitely take a look. Okay.
So quickly, just since we've recorded this episode, there have been some pretty big development in the animation sphere that maybe some of you've heard about, namely that HBO Max has pulled a lot of animated and even syndicated shows, and a lot of creators didn't find out about it until they learned about it publicly when all this news was out. Things like Infinity Train. Oh, what else is there? Oh, Little Ellen, Mau Mau. Like, that might not be, you know, some of these shows are actually quite high profile. There's even an animated show by J.J. Abrams.
That was really?
As well. Yeah, it was Batman the Caped Crusader.
Right.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Sonia? Feels like pretty big news.
Yeah, I was really sad just reading all the news on Twitter. There was just a lot of reactions from animators, fans, everyone who were just really excited about these shows that were either going to be realized or that they enjoyed watching on streaming platforms that were suddenly disappearing one after the other. It was really quite sad to see. And this came soon after. There was also, I think, some announcements from Netflix where they had canceled a few animated projects that were coming up. Shows like Wings of Fire, Anti-Racist Baby, With Kind Regards from Kindergarten. Pearl, I think, was also one. I think that's like another high profile one. Meghan Markle, is involved with one of those. Yeah.
Those are shows that had not been made yet.
Yeah, so we're kind of seeing across the board shows that were already popular and shows that hadn't yet been produced but people were really excited about. I guess we both wanted to express like our sadness over this news, our hope that it gets resolved or some action is taken to bring some of these projects back or at least to other streaming services. It's just really devastating to see.
Yeah, I think for a lot of the focus that I've been reading has been on the content creators who worked so hard on these shows and suddenly having them pulled. I do want to say that none of this is happening in a bubble either. And Warner Brothers, HBO Max, all of these really giants of, you know, entertainment are going through financial hardship where even removing old episodes of shows like Sesame Street, I think they removed like 200 episodes.
Wow.
Those are syndicated shows that helps to keep licensing down. And so it's not a priority for the company to keep those kinds of shows. And this is, I feel when I read this, this is just another show of how much we're paying into systems that give us so little in return in terms of like taking away our quote unquote like ownership over and control over titles that mean a lot to us. I mean, just looking at the old DVD collections and things that I have that, you know, like we get to go back and watch those things if we still have a DVD player that can read them.
But yeah, it's also just such a great example of just the disrespect and disregard that a lot of these, you know, big multimedia conglomerate corporations have for animated work and the hardworking artists and creators behind them. So yeah, I think we just wanted to take this moment to express our support for you all. If you care at all about cartoons or anything related to this industry, please support them, make some noise online, help these stories find their place on other platforms if you can, and then tell, you know, HBO Max and these streaming platforms that we want to see them back.
All right, that's all we got. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next month for our Halloween special with a special guest celebrating our 1-year anniversary of Cartoon Revolution. And after that, we'll be taking a brief
couple month hiatus, and we'll be back in January with new content.
Yeah. This has been fun. This is very
It was nice to check in.
Stress.
Yeah. Hear questions from people, but also like just reflect on our journey here, our friendship, everything.
Really, I doubt any listener knows all of the references that we're making, but lucky for you guys, we're gonna do our best to to make it a little easier for you. So stay tuned. Yeah.
There's so many references I don't even understand, but we're all learning through this.
We're all learning. We definitely want to hear it. This is, even though it's an underrated genre thing, it's always been a big part of storytelling. So
yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of material to cover. So we want to hear from you, the kinds of things you're interested in, maybe the cartoons you maybe didn't like. Literally anything animated, cartoon related, just send it our way.
Please do.
Okay. And thanks so much for all our supporters. We really appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Thanks for sticking around.
We're still growing, and your voice matters in how this project shapes up, because y'all are still small. We're still small, I should say.
We are small. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye. Mwah. Bye, bye, bye.
Thanks for joining us on Cartoon Revolution. Episodes drop the first week of every month on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and most other major podcast platforms.
Follow us on Instagram at cartoonrevolution.pod. That's cartoonrevolution.pod.
Tell us what you're watching and share your hot takes with us. Music is from The Musical Ghost. See you next time.
See you soon. Mwah.